a new week in Vegas, everybody. Monday Fun Day here on the Cinch Stage at Cowboy Commons. Boy, it is time to rally together once again. Don't get your head in a spin, folks. There's no spin at this rally. It's all pure rodeo. The latest and greatest insider information and a few personal opinions. Tommy Joe Lucia and Kendra Santos, the No Spin Rodeo Rally.
Hello, Las Vegas. Hello, podcast fans. Hello, no spinners all over the country. Tommy Joe Lucia here. Greg Teagarden to my right. The illustrious lady in stilettos, because she uses them to gouge your eyes out. My co-host, Kendra Santos. Hello, Cletus. One of my favorite people in the world. Cletus here joining us, a no spinner. And the handsome guest that we have. I've got to get to my notes because I love this part. This is my favorite thing. I got to find it because I was so proud of myself because I tried to be a journalist and beat my journalist partner. And now I can't find my notes and I'm getting really nervous. And I don't know where it went.
Nine-time NFR steer wrestler, for starters, which is...
No, hold on. A once famous artist printed this. Casey Jones, world-class cowboy and industry titan. The subline was, the odds of Casey Jones becoming a world-class cowboy in an industry titan is somewhere between slim and none. That's what you wrote about the small cowboy bulldogger right there. What say you? Is he a titan or is he a nobody?
Okay. Casey Jones is one of the smartest cowboys ever. I grew up with a mother who said, use your head for more than a hat rack. And if you're going to be a cowboy, you better be a smart one. This is a smart one. And I'm just saying, little Casey Jones, when I first knew him, I lived in Colorado my first time out of college working for the PRCA when I lived in Colorado. Little Casey Jones from Los Animas, Colorado, was a pretty slight built, Tucker Allen-like almost, right?
Yeah, the first year I made the finals, I weighed 185.
Same. Yep. Tucker weighs 183 yep. pounds. So, you know, and so he's this really sweet kid from this farm country, and now...
He truly is... from a middle-class family, right?
Oh, yeah, my mom and dad, they were both school teachers, and then we had a little farm there, and dad, we raised alfalfa, and we had some cows there, but no, dad worked really hard, and mom, she was, you know, taking care of the kids.
Did the president, the loser of the election, live right next door in another middle-class home?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
No politics, no BS is what
That's
we're supposed
politics.
To stick to.
Yeah, okay, I'm just okay. saying. So anyway.
Anyway, here's what you and I seem to agree to disagree a lot, but we both agree. Casey Jones is a very smart cowboy.
I just fail more than others.
No. Well, here's the deal, all of you people. Here's what, we try to help you into our family here in rodeo. And here's the deal about Casey. The point is, the odds are against him. And let me tell you the second part, the business odds being against him. He was the cowboy that was a marketer and a high-tech visionary. Now, think about that in a room full of bulldoggers. Okay, you're sitting there having your beer. Hey, guys, I was just wondering, maybe someday there something could be created like a meme or something like that. It's like a picture of all of us that goes viral everywhere. Can you imagine what those guys, and this, no, for real though, this is the difference, the industry difference maker as it relates to understanding how to brand and market, and I'm going to take all this back because I don't want Casey to start thinking he's brilliant. Marketing, smart, but IP, you know, the dude is a former NFR player and drives a Cybertruck. And by the way, he calls me. This was, I don't even know, a year and a half ago or something. Hey, DJ, what are you doing? Cowboy. He always starts with cowboy. Everybody's a cowboy. He said, hey, I'm ordering my Cybertruck. You need to order one right now. I'm like, what are you talking about? Elon Musk, he's going to put a Cybertruck out. And we got to get on the waiting list. We got to get a Cybertruck. You got to buy one. I said, how much on there? Oh, they're only like $120,000, $130,000. But, I mean, they're going to be worth a fortune. Just write me a check. I'll get you on the list. But that's how Casey Jones thinks, right? I mean, a cowboy that's driving a Cybertruck, which, by the way, could be given away here, right?
Yeah, this year we offered a Cybertruck or a brand-new Ram 3500.
A slightly used Cybertruck.
Yeah, and that's why we cut it. I wanted to make it clear it's KC's Cybertruck.
Are they buying you another one?
No. Yeah, I mean, like, we're just going to – the champion's choice, so they either are going to get the truck and trailer or they have a choice at the Cybertruck.
Oh, so the Cybertruck is in Pro Fantasy's name, not yours.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're not giving away your truck. What are you going to drive when they pick it? Because if I win, I'm getting your truck.
I might have to buy it back.
You can't afford it.
I'd love to know what the difference is on insurance between the Ram 3500 and the Cybertruck.
That's Cybertruck's cheaper.
Really?
Yeah, they've proven it's safer to drive. So, yeah, it's cheaper than.
Well, it's because it looks like a rolling turtle.
I'm a nerd, though, you know. So it was 5 years ago. You had to put the order in, you know. And I'm an Elon Musk fanatic.
So am I.
I'm a fanboy, you know. And put the order in 5 years ago, and it seems like it just keeps getting delayed more and more and more and more. Finally get it in April. And, you know, like before Elon Musk was cool in our industry, you know, since he's really influential and kind of helping out, I thought it was going to get a lot of shade. You know, they're going to throw a lot of shade. And so I never post on Facebook or Instagram or anything. And so all my buddies started figuring out that, you know, that I got the truck, you know, and they're like, oh, you're going to give that away? I'm like, no, it's my truck. No, I've been waiting 5 years for this truck. There's no way I'm giving away. And then Stu Pearson, you know Stu?
I know Stu.
He's like, you got to give that away. I'm going to buy 10 teams. I'm like, you never even bought a team before, Stu. What are you talking about? So kind of developed two marketing plans. Because one of the things I'm really passionate about, and we really see the results in fantasy in some of our games, you know, our sweepstakes games, is that we create rodeo fans. Because we get the phone calls. They'll call and say, what's Saddle Bronc riding? You know, and so we kind of educate them. And then next week they might like, well, how much does it cost to get the ticket?
How many of those calls do you take? Do you mean your minions and oh, Gail.
So we
the one working part of the two of you.
She loves the game, you know, because she loves to talk to our players. And so we have a call tree, and it goes to Gail first, and then we have three different.
Where are you at on the call tree?
I'm like sixth. I'm the last resort. But then when it reaches me, I'll say, Pro Fantasy Rodeo, how can I help you? I'll call back when I want to talk to Gail, and they'll just hang up. Because, you know, instead of Gail just answering the phone like, yeah, like, can I put your team in? How's mom and them? You remember that bay horse we talked about last year with that, you know, that bad foot on the left? How's he doing, you know? And so she'll be on the, you know, phone with them for 30 minutes, you know. But, yeah, well, she loves it.
To put a button on the Cybertruck is like Rocker Steiner. You either love it or you hate it, right?
Yep.
I mean, people walk, they're like, that's the ugliest thing, or I love it, right?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to transition over to you to talk a little background. Because, I mean, his mom and dad and where he came from and stuff is kind of cool. Like,
well, you should transition to him. I mean,
so tell us.
Yeah, I grew up on a little farm there in southeast Colorado, big city of L.A., Los Animas. You know, just didn't ever. My dad rodeoed and rode bulls, but he never did go, you know, PRCA. But they gave me everything that, you know, they could. But, you know, we built our own horse trailer to go to high school rodeos. Dad was pretty handy. He could build anything. And we had an old camper, and we had an old Ford truck. And I remember we was going, you know, in Colorado when you're high school rodeoing, there's the East Plains and the West Plains. And so you have to go over the hill, you know, to some of the high school rodeos. Well, our old truck wouldn't make it. So him and his buddy, they got in the shop, and they put a 429 Cobra Jet in there. And with a really big cam, and then he'd go to the airport right there, that little air landing strip there in Los Animas, and the back tank would be he'd put airplane fuel in it, and the front tank would, you know, just have regular gas, and we'd take up off that hill, you know. And of course, back in the day, they had those GMC crew cab, you know, four door duallys that ever, you know, that in Chevys that the, you know, all the cool kids had, and we had this old jalopy with a camper and a homemade horse trailer. and Dad get a kick of it, and he'd wait for those brand new 454s to go up the hill, and he'd just take off and hit that back tank on the truck and just blow by him. But then before we got to the top, you know, the head gasket, you know, we'd be overheating, and we'd have the hood up, and it'd be smoking, and there goes a 454 right by us. But it was a lot of fun back then, you know, because you just, you know, you make it work, you know. And then I went on to college, full you know, scholarship up there at UW. Went to Sterling first.
Went
to UW, and mom and dad said you can't get a PRSA card until you get a degree. And so I had a lot of fun in college. I thought we could maybe move in for about 10 years there. I didn't want to leave, but finally they kicked me out.
10 years?
I was wanting to stay 10 years, but I thought it was a pretty good gig.
Do they do that on scholarships? Is it you can stay here till you get done program?
They kicked me out, and I had to, you know, hurry up, get my grades done. But no, we went up to UW, you know, and moved in with the stud Bulldoggers, Paul Mather and Jock Campbell. And I'm just, you know, little farm kid up there, but they're the guys, you know. And so every day we'd go out to OK Corral, Pete Burns's indoor arena, and we'd, you know, rope calves in the morning, and we'd, you know, team rope, and then we'd bulldog. And then that time, you know, the OK Corral's kind of falling down, so Pete would let me keep my horses free there if I fixed it up. And then about, you know, probably about 5 o'clock, we'd head in the cowboy bar. They had dollar keystones and dollar fried mushrooms. And man, well, this is a pretty good gig. Started doing that. Well, I was in engineering. I got associates at architectural engineering at Sterling, and then was going to get an architectural engineering degree at UW. I didn't know that was one of the biggest engineering, you know, one of the best engineering colleges. So after about a month of cowboy bar mushrooms and Keystone Lights, I'm like, I better go check out this college deal. I had to keep a 2.0, and I started like at -4 when I showed up. Figured out there was 2 hours of homework in every class, and I had to get tutors. And boy, as soon as I got that into that semester and state, you know, because they were talking thermodynamics and statics, and they were, you know, thinking about stuff like this farm kid didn't comprehend. So as soon as I got out of that semester, I went and changed my major to business marketing, and it's been better than that. Yeah.
Besides being smart, though, he's a good guy. Like, he helps a lot of young people, and they're just little things that not everybody sees. But like the last time Oat hazed here, he was getting stuck in the corner, left behind, and this one steps forward with your gray mare, who was amazing hazing horse,
Louise.
And says, here, Louise, get on mine. And, like, pulled a guy out of a scrape. He's also a good human. So.
Well, so $2 million cowboy. How much of that $2 million was really left at the end of the game?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about the house that 150 built. That's a cool term.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So, you know, Gil and I, we moved in, when we got married, you know, there in California. I met her at Red Bluff.
Were you sober when you met her?
It was Slack Sunday morning, barrel racing Slack.
Oh, so you were on your game.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
I was a little under the weather, probably. You know, Oakdale's a pretty good time. So I met her there after the barrel racing Slack, went to Red Bluff. But, you know, and kind of bumped into her again, and she's helped me out. It was raining. The guys were waiting on me to throw all the steers down, and I pulled in by myself, and she's like, looks like you need help. I said, yeah, great. And then come back, and I said, I'll take you out to dinner. You know, I appreciate the help. Took her to Denny's, her first date.
Perfect.
Yep. And then
Grand Slam.
Met her, and then went down, and we got to go out on a date at Clovis. Flew back to Hayward, gave her a ring, and we got married at the Cow Palace that fast.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And then.
And you're still married?
Yes.
That's
yeah,
cool.
She won't. Yeah.
How many years is that?
21 years. Yeah.
Oh, you put him on the spot there.
Everybody, like, you know, tolerates me and loves Gail, you know, so she's all I got to do is just not mess up one thing.
Well, so, like we do with all of our guests, we're going to invite you to sit in and comment on everything as we run through today's show, but really happy. And Pro Fantasy Rodeo is a sponsor of our deal. Now remember, now the way you get to play is daily, and daily is cool. So, let's kind of recap. Hey, whenever you're ready to join the show again, there,
Sparky. His phone keeps beeping.
Well,
so
I know,
it off.
But
he's being
polite. Has he ever been in a Sean Davis production meeting? Hey, let's just recap the Tattoo League. He created the Tattoo League. I was going to get a little comment from him. This is, people that everybody kind of knows in the rodeo. It's a league. There's 30 of us, I think. And like we've said before, the winner decides the loser's tattoo. At round one, it was really looking like I was going to be figuring out what was going to be put on you.
I was going to have an ugly fish on my right hip.
It was going to be a piranha. But I was going to put it somewhere where, as you aged, it didn't look like a drooping piranha. Like, somewhere where you can Botox. But anyway, the current standings right now in the Tattoo League, and a little background on the Tattoo League, I'm set in seventh, which I'm plenty happy with in that game. You are 14th, so you have come up and held your own in the middle. Oates at 19th. You're in it, aren't you? Where are you at?
No, I didn't get to play the Tattoo League.
Oh.
They kind of pressured me into getting in the TR Talent League because we're doing our shows over there with Fantasy.
I think that's crap. You should have to be in the Tattoo League.
In 21 years, I've never have played.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's time for change.
I'm a little
nervous. You're a changer. You're an innovator. You have to be in it next year.
Well, I can probably put my team in there now. Yeah, so it's doing pretty good.
That's cheating.
No, it would leave him too wide open to that because he can manipulate the system. You know what I mean?
You can manipulate the system?
Well, no.
No. They take the keys away. My developer.
The guy who owns the whole thing doesn't. It's kind of bad form, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, so legally, any of our employees can't play. And then, like, it'd look funny if I won it, right? So I never have, But... our developers know that, like, I break stuff, bulldogger, like in China Cabinet, bull running through there. I just take the keys away from me so I can't touch it, because I don't want it to go down on my watch.
Now, is there some momentum in the daily game? Because I think people think if you don't get in that first 10, then you're out. But that's not, you guys have created this daily game and pick 'em. So, we got a couple minutes here before we move on, but like, people are playing that. That's fun. You get to restart. And Greg told me you get $100,000 more bucks to play with.
Yep.
So you can stack your team a little bit better.
Yeah, and the reason we're doing the daily game, is because you have to have it before the first bucking horse at the NFR. And so this is every day for $10.95 if you bought a big game. $14.95 if you didn't, if you just want to get in. And we do $10,000 a day. And we're only getting about four. It's kind of, we're creeping up there, getting 50 more entries a day. But I think yesterday we had 450 entries. So the odds are really good for 10,000.
That's, yeah. I think I need to.
Yeah,
I haven't had time.
Tonight.
But if I'm playing against, if you're, listen here, people. If you're looking at your overall team and it says that you're in the top 20%, right? Maybe you ought to start putting some money down on daily. Good, right? That's numbers.
And what's fun about the daily fantasy, because there's some, fanatics.
Yeah.
That they have several teams, before they enter one. Well, we're going to give you 100,000 more. So the salary cap, 650. So that team that you wanted that you had, didn't have enough money for, you can do it in the daily fantasy.
I do. I have a ranch cowboy cousin out in the original capital, cowboy capital in Oakdale, who's a pro fantasy rodeo fanatic, and he's on speed dial with Gail.
Brady's, he's awesome.
He loves it. He's not low tech, he's zero tech, but he has Gail Jones's phone number, and she takes his call, and he loves this game.
I know, and I think the only critical thing I would say is it takes me about 3 days or 2 days at the NFR to remember how to navigate on the app. Right, to figure out where's my team, how do I see my league standings? I've got it figured out now, again, but it takes me a little while. Well, let's get on into let's roll on what's happening. Let's kick off on what's going on, what we learned in the last 24 hours. You start.
I'll say this: Miss Rodeo America 2025 was crowned yesterday. South Dakota's Callie Mueller. Congratulations to her.
Congratulations. Pretty lady.
She's beautiful, and as far as I know, the last South Dakota cowgirl to be Miss Rodeo America, I think, was Jordan Tierney, who she was Miss Rodeo America 2020, And then because of COVID, she was 2021 also. And then this year she became my daughter-in-law, and next year she's going to give me a grandson. So I'm kind of high on South Dakota.
Staying right with it. And then moving along, we mentioned it yesterday, the Golden Circle of Champions. You know, if you watch the purr, if you saw the gold bandanas, a couple things happened. Our team went over there right after to Tuscany where they had it, and the Days of 47 brought in Brielle Bird, little girl with neoblastoma, and so the family comes into the room, and the dad says to me, this is really cool, we don't know. They're telling us there's nothing left. So, you know, Anthony's the crier in the group. I'm standing there in the room, and I start crying. This deal is life-changing, not only for these kids, but for these athletes. Because your son came, I sent you some pictures of him, not competing, he came. I'm telling you, it makes a difference in these cowboys and cowgirls' lives because it puts a world in perspective when you spend a day with someone that's battling the biggest thing in their life.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, Taylor out this year for two hip surgeries, he came and he was paired with a little girl named Wendy yesterday. And at his NFRs, he says that day is his favorite. That's the coolest thing that happened. And he this year, used that Golden Circle Champions as his charity and raise a bunch of money. And by the way, you and I both in the
league.
Tattoo league are Golden Circle Champions people.
Anthony was Golden Circle when he got the tattoo, right?
But Wendy yesterday that he was with lost her right eye to cancer, you know, and so many cool things. That's just a life-changing experience for everybody, and I do think it's cooler for the Cowboys than it even is for the kids. Wesley Thorpe, the defending world champion team ripper, just stood up and auctioned off his round two buckle from this year and raised $5,000 for Golden Circle.
Cool.
And Taylor said that they told them yesterday that I believe starting next year, you know, last night was Memorial Night, but there were a lot of yellow scarves, and people like Elsie Frost and different people were texting me, what's with the yellow scarves? And Taylor said that they said yesterday that it's going to have its Golden Circle of Champions night, like there's a Tough Enough to Wear Pink night on Memorial Night, Golden Circle of Champions will have its own night next
Saturday
year,
night.
Which is super cool.
Yep, first cool. Saturday. That's cool. Well, and fun fact, and I want to thank my no-spin insiders. I've got my crew out there combing for information. I thought this was interesting. Fun fact, NFR barrel racer Nancy Hunter started Golden Knight years ago, and then it's kind of gotten picked up from Golden Circle of Champions. Tina and their team from Santa Maria. Nancy's son survived pediatric cancer, and she herself was a nurse. And before we get off of this, they say salute to these cancer kids, but here's the thing you need to take away. 4% of the national cancer research budget, 4% is spent on pediatric cancer. So they're spending 4% of their budget to figure out the cure for the kids that got a whole life to live. And they're spending 96% of their budget on old dudes like me that have already had a life. It's about awareness. Pediatric cancer needs money. They need cures. Do you know Brielle's dad, ours, told me that they're using chemotherapy that's 65 years old on her. That's what Tina and all of us want to do. It's awareness. Pediatric cancer needs to be number one thought about. These are babies. They deserve a chance to live.
It's pretty cool, and I'm proud of Rodeo for stepping into this. And I will also say, you mentioned Nancy Hunter.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure that she's the daughter of very world-famous rodeo clown Chuck Henson.
Really?
Do you remember that name?
Oh, I know. I performed with Chuck Henson.
I think
Henson.
Nancy Hunter is
I watched
his
Henson
daughter.
Drink a lot of Christians and Brothers in a clown room at Fort Worth.
Okay, I think Nancy's his daughter, I think.
All right, we'll keep moving. So I called everybody. Chase, my son, called me first. they shut down three floors of South Point starting at 5 o'clock, or four floors. I don't know the specifics.
Last night
at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was resolved at 10 p.m. Evidently, from what I can find out, there was a suicidal man there. And in the end, they had SWAT members. I mean, I did get a text from someone that was like, I was going to my room, and I turned the corner, and there's a dude on his knee with a gun with a silencer, and I got back on the elevator and went down and went back and got a drink. Yeah. Yeah, they were. When you came in, there were SWAT in the...
They escorted Oat and I from the parking garage, you know, to where we needed to go. And it was on floor 24 that happened, and then we're on floor 22. So, but they were very efficient in getting us to where we needed to go. But yeah.
Well, so evidently, from what I've read, the gentleman decided to run out in the hall with his gun towards the SWAT, and that was the suicide. I mean, you know what I'm saying. The cop, the SWAT took him out. One fatality, him, everything. But you know what I thought, and you mentioned this, Greg, would you have known really anywhere in the hotel that this is going down?
No, not at all. We were doing the World Series of Team Roping, the Riata Sale, and their team roping in the arena. You would have never have known anything like that was happening up at the South Point.
Kudos to the South Point.
Kudos.
Let's roll.
And even going through the casino, no, there was no police present that we could see.
All right. What's next on the list, boss? Is it the Cowboy Channel update? Yeah. So, you know, we brought this up earlier that there's always some technical, and this, you can chime into this. You know, when these systems get crashed with viewers, that's a good thing for rodeo. And you get the spinning deal if you tried to watch the Tyson fight, right? You get the spinning thing. That's, you know, there's good and bad. It's bad for the consumer, but it's good that there's demand there. There's always some technical issues with finally getting into your rhythm to watch the NFR on the app or whatever. But there was a big outcry by the fans with Sling TV. And so we mentioned, you know, 40 minutes of nothing on Sling. When you bought Sling, you thought you got the Cowboy Channel Plus app. So here's a little bit of the backstory. We have not gotten an official statement from Teton Ridge, the new owner of Cowboy Channel, but this is what the backstory that I found. Essentially, Sling has been pirating, you know, marketing the NFR, and they don't own the rights through their deal to put the NFR on TV. And by the way, Patrick Gotch last year shut them down. So this isn't new. They're trying to go around the system. Broadcast rights are worth a lot of money. And so they shut them down again this year. And as I suspected, after about 40 minutes of people getting angry, which Sling probably realized, Teton decided to turn it back on. And again, who wins there? I think the fans win in the end. Teton did the right thing. But well, Sling's the one that's doing this bad.
The whole point of the story to me is a lot of things happen this week and every year here where there's this public hysteria and furious fuming, but a lot of times the anger is pointed at the wrong people. So,
right.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, that's my point. Now, okay. Has there been some, I've been hearing that there's been still some audio technical problems between Janie and them during the live show. I didn't watch it last night, but did they lose Janie's audio during the live show? We don't know. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, onward.
Yep.
Onward. Fines. Now, I find this interesting. So, it might have been your team that posted this. I saw it posted where they asked Cowboys. Let me ask you, did you ever get any fines?
Yes.
For what?
For what?
Oh, wearing a Rodeo Vegas jacket and a drink.
His brand.
Guerrilla marketing.
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was just a media buy at the end of the day, you know.
Yep.
How much is a fine for that?
I think it was like $1,200 or something back then.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
Taking too much time in the box. I think I got one. I can't remember. But like the Bulldog, and they kind of really cracked down. You know, if your horse is not, you know, able to get out of there in 45 seconds, it's on. It costs you money.
So it was out there. They asked Cowboys, who do you think's the most fined cowboy currently in the NFR? So let's go around the room. Who do you think is the most fined cowboy so far?
Well, the easiest guess would be Rocker, I would think.
Is that your guess?
No.
Well, what's your guess?
I don't know anybody. I guess I'll go with rocker because I don't know anybody that I could think.
I think it's kind of a
can
dumb,
you get fined for riding
a mule?
It's kind
of a dumb question to me because nobody. Sorry.
Well, thank you.
But I mean,
there's
nobody's
the stiletto to the throat.
Nobody stands out to me like there's somebody that's so obvious that you know.
Exactly.
It's like Rocker.
Really?
Does he get fined when? Because last night there was a straight F bomb in right into the camera. But okay, does he get fined for that? I don't know.
See, and I think there's so. Fines that we don't even know that they, you know, like he was saying too long in the box. I mean.
Oh, well, I know all about
we
that
get
one.
A picture. They post it right there in the rodeo secretary.
Well,
office.
I've got here's what I there know about the fines. Amazingly low amount of fines. The largest fine this year was handed out to Legacy Pro Rodeo, Mr. Growney, who was with us yesterday, was it? Yeah.
What did he do?
They brought a bull to the NFR without a brand on him. And when you unload them and they don't have a brand, it's got to be a full brand on them. They got a $5,500 fine. They spun the bull around, put him back on the truck, and he lost his $11,250.
Ooh.
Wow. That's a fine.
That's more than a fine, right? Yeah. And the bull didn't get the buck.
Yeah. Wow.
Because he wasn't branded. So that's the largest fine currently to date. And the other, there's been some randos, but there's been two guys for $250, and I don't have their names because I didn't get that information. Two guys for $250 for, what's it called? Not ready. You know, not yep. ready to compete, or there's yep. a line for it.
Is there any fines in there for the grand entry practice?
Again, those are the only ones I was told about. Because do you get fined for... We haven't heard about the Grinch fine, is what you're getting at.
Every year, you know, it's pretty
know
wild.
That, I don't know that there was a Grinch fine because he did, by golly, have his back number on. So
you can dress like...
I don't know. Did he have a hat on? I don't remember. Does Grinch have a hat? I don't know. Anyway,
he did have his back number on.
And I did, again, to sound like Joe Bieber, I did ride the elevator with Yaquo yesterday up to the concourse during the rodeo. I'm just saying, so I'm like, hey, did you get hit for the buffalo coat on night one? Because it covered his, didn't have a back number showing. And he said, no, nobody said a word. But then I saw his partner right over here by the Cowboy Channel stage, and he said, which is a reminder because I actually knew this, Native, there are exemptions. And Buddy was like, hey, like the only people who can wear an endangered, like an eagle feather, if you're a Native, you can. Nobody else can. I think that's kind of interesting. That's been the case forever. Because I remember, you know, back in the Tom Reeves days and all that, that was the case then. Bud Longbreak?
Yeah, I remember Bucky Campbell got in trouble for it 1 year.
Is that reverse discrimination?
All I'm saying is that has been an actual thing. So, but I thought that there was a pretty hefty fine for those guys. The first night was at Youngblood and Kincaid Henry that jerked their calves down. They got the yellow flag, but just got fined, but not flagged out. Now, if they jerk another one down, they're flagged out. But I thought somebody said it's like $12.50 or something, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I'm not the fine. I'm just telling you some ones that I was told about that I know. It is posted up there. Maybe we'll get a picture sent to us. But we do know that the PRC is not exactly efficient in communicating. So there may be another $20,000 worth of fines out there that they just haven't posted yet.
I hope that they will consider it a point of pride to not consider fines a revenue source. This is a membership organization. I know we have to have rules here.
I don't think they do.
I know. I think that...
I think they have to... We talked about this. We talked about throwing stuff into the stands. From a marketing perspective, it sounds brilliant. But from a legal perspective, it's a different thing. Yep. From a rights perspective, it's a different thing.
Let's save that for Cody Ull. He's going to be here
Saturday.
Oh, boy.
You and Cody on that side of the table. Greg, you better pep up your testosterone because it's going to be a wild one. All right.
Last night was Memorial Night. You want to talk about that?
Absolutely.
Okay. For one thing... that was cool. Is that song called "I Will Remember You"? I'm not sure the name of it, but it was beautifully, a beautiful rendering of it. And Haley Proctor was out there with her angel wings on her white horse. You know, that's always it's a lovely remembrance. And the basics of it is that we remember NFR cowboys, cowgirls, stock contractors, contract personnel who have passed since last year. And as soon as it was over, I mean 3 seconds, 2 seconds, bing, my text, and Cody Ohl was like, they forgot Ernie. And so he's talking about Ernie Taylor, who died November 13th, 1973 world champion calf roper. And then somebody else said, well, they forgot Donnie Hetzel, you know, the, from Washington, the stock contractor who died November 12th, one day apart from Ernie. But Sonny Depp Backstrom, the NFR secretary, said there's a deadline for making the video. And so Ernie...
And submitting it to
Ernie
them.
And Donnie Hetzel will be honored next year. And then this morning, Mike Mathis's wife, Shan, was just like, she publicly, you know, posted to me and said, I'm just absolutely heartbroken that they forgot Mike, who, you know, rodeo announcer who dedicated his life. And he was an NFR alternate twice. He did announce the NFSR three times. Da-da-da. Well, but I will say this, because I pulled it up. He died here in his hotel room in Las Vegas last year, December 12th, pretty sure. And the only slack we've ever had at the NFR that morning, they honored Mike on the big screen in that arena. And I took a picture of it and put it up. And so I gave that to her, and she hadn't seen it last year. So I feel, you know, they felt that they honored Mike last year. And obviously, we all loved Mike. He did give his life to this sport. So,
shout out to those three.
Yes. And you know, nobody would ever intentionally something like that. I will say this. The last person on the big screen last night was Quinn Kessler. That was the hardest one for me to watch. Quinn, young son, father, husband with a little beautiful little girl. He was one of those rare NFR switch-enders who headed and healed. I mean, the talent of that kid since he was itty-bitty was extraordinary. And I think it's a little extra difficult because Quinn decided when he was going to leave. And that, I don't know how else to say that. That's it's just so hard.
Yeah, it's not good.
And the best, you know, that, you know, you can, with Quinn, you know, he's, talented, you know, and made the finals both sides. And he's a great guy. You know, I loved hanging around Quinn. Like, he'd come every night to a Rodeo Vegas party, and, man, he'd just make everybody feel good. So I don't really look at the talent aspect of what makes a person. It's a person. And so it was a tough loss.
That was a great loss. But it's a lovely night. It's a lovely thing to do rodeo family.
I mean, that's the thing. You look at our culture, we do that at our Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, that's the things that that all of the people in the industry now, as new people come in, those are the things that they protect with a 44. Don't you change who we are. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get into the rodeo rebuckum. Now, let me ask you a quick question on pro fantasy. Is in football, people have different spots that they go spend money on to get help, you know, and experts and all that. Has that evolved in pro fantasy rodeo at all? Is there anywhere to go find expert advice for daily pick'em or
well, we
whatever?
We have the fan magazine. You know, Gail and I, that's 80 pages of torture for us every year. And I tackle farm animals. I'm not supposed to create a magazine, you know. And so Gail does a really
you
good job.
You tackled farm animals. Tackled. Now all you do is look at monkeys on the screen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I prefer that. It didn't hurt as bad. But
that can go a lot of ways, people.
But Gail does every one of those bios and spends a lot of time making sure the information is correct. And so that's available resource on profantasyrodeo.com. There's an online version. And then, you know,
that's old news after it starts.
Well, I mean, like...
Well, I guess maybe not.
Yeah. Somebody new comes in and says, here's about daily fantasy. They can find the resources there. We just posted, usually we don't do this, but we just posted the NFR rider percentage picks. So Tyler Wagspack.
Oh, yeah, big one.
How many teams do you think he's on?
Oh, mine. It's not like you thought you were a genius
well,
when you
give
picked
you,
him.
I'll give you some context to start. Rocker Steiner is on 49.3% of the teams. So he's on half of the fantasy teams. So what do you think WAG is?
See, now those are good numbers you're giving us. Now you're bringing something to the table here.
Okay, WAG, let me just guess, 75%, 80?
Because, you know, Gil takes phone calls. And so all day long, all I hear is WAG's back is my bulldogger. WAG's back, WAG's back, WAG, WAG, WAG. So I'm like, I got to go look. I'm like, is he on every team? 15%.
He's only on 15%.
Dalton Massey's the highest pick steer wrestler. 24,
I would have thought opposite.
24%. And I think it goes to Will, Dakota, WAG.
That's
and I blew me away.
You know what? Too. I wonder if people were worried about him because he was hurt this year or something. But I mean, to me, like
but
him in this building.
He nailed
by the
him
way,
at
he
the
hasn't
end.
Won a dime yet.
I know, but that would have I would have pushed all the chips in.
Me too.
Like
me too.
On black.
I did.
Me too. On black.
I did. You know. And it hasn't paid off. Yeah. By the way, it's been red, red, red.
So fans can go to profantasyrodeo.com and then click on our big game, and there's black boxes, and then it'll have NFR rider percentages. And it's
interesting.
Pretty interesting. Like Caleb and Junior is the highest in the team rope. And did you look at how much money that so Riley Webb, after four rounds, 127,000. Haley Kinzel has 121,000. Like, won three rounds, both of them. Placed second. One of them was split second and third. Like, they're
if you got them, you're out of danger right now.
Yeah.
But it all really rolls down to the very end. But let's get into bareback riding. You recap it, and then Casey and I will do some talking about what's coming up.
Well, okay, so Bradley Miller won the round. He was 88.5. That kid... I don't know what you call his victory lap where he puts the reins in his teeth and his arms
fly,
like flying.
Baby, fly.
Yeah. So, you know, good for him. And Dinkus here, I had the money to pick him, but I went with somebody sentimental because he high school rodeoed with my kids. And
nope.
I'm like, oh,
she goes
that's...
with that. So she covers her stiletto here. Because she's not doing so well, it's always, well, I had to
that's
go with my favorites.
That's not an
favorites.
Excuse. I actually was calling myself out for making it. I'll live by the sword, die by the sword, going with my heart, whatever. But I will also say, Jess Pope, okay, he was 84.5 on Pete Carr's Good Time Charlie, and they retired that horse after last night or this
they
week.
They did.
Okay.
Last night, last time.
Let me say this, too, about Bradley. Pretty cool. Okay, that was his second victory lap. But also, the night before, he was 62.5 points. So good for him to, like, I mean, Trevor Brazil always said that the number one thing you need to make it in this game is a short memory. Good for Bradley Miller. He laughed when he was 62.5. He laughed walking out of the arena because, like, shit happens, you know? And so good for him.
Well, there's 6 points, 4 points between the two average, between Cole Franks and Keenan Hayes. Dean Thompson, those three are all in the top for the aggregate. Keenan Hayes has got the world still by 281, and Rocker is 10 grand behind him.
Well, so, you know, again, you could read his lips easily last night, and that's the thing about that daily thing. Then you get to jump in on who's hot, who's not. You can read some body languages by now. It's, you know, we're...
Yeah, on the daily, what's beneficial with that? You could look at the stock draw. So last night, you know... I've looked at the stock draw.
Where do you find that at?
We posted on Pro Fantasy, on Pro Fantasy Rodeo.
I have been looking for that for 5 years now, and it's on Pro Fantasy.
And one of the things our developers, and it just happened.
When does it get posted? How soon do you get it?
We'll have the regular stock draw, like 2 days, you know, the rough stock. But then timed event, as soon as they draw out there, it's on our website.
When do they draw, the night before?
2 hours before the perf.
2 hours before perf. Okay, I'm sorry.
Have you been on rodeo very long?
But I don't pay attention to that end of the arena that much. That's her job. Sorry, no offense.
I can't believe that. Are you feeling okay? They always draw the time of event of a cattle 2 hours before.
Listen, there's things in life.
Who is this guy?
There's things in life in my brain that don't take priority. And when they draw the cattle, hasn't been a priority for Tommy Joe. Okay.
Obviously.
Back off.
Let's bulldog, fellas. So, okay. J.D. Struxness, 3-6, wins round four. Here's the black horse of the year again, Crush, Ty's horse. You should definitely step in. We're in your turf, the bulldogging. But that horse.
That horse makes it so easy. I mean, you can trust his start every time. He doesn't ever take confidence away from you before you nod, and he just goes so fast through there. But he's long strided, so it's easy. Easy transition.
To me, so special too to have three guys on your back and not come undone.
And his attitude, you know, like that's the cool thing. Another cool thing about Crush is like he just kind of hangs out, chill, and when you do that, it's done. Like it, you don't have to worry about him. He is gone.
How many runs are too many runs on a horse?
Just depends, you know, and it's a little tough in this arena because it's so short. The stopping's where they get sore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they can take off and it doesn't hurt them. But like when they look up at the end of the arena and they're like,
there's a yellow light fixing to smack them in the face.
They can, you know, have a little more stress on their joints. But, you know, the bulldogging horses are tough. That's one of the reasons. Like in bulldogging, either to have one that really loves it or one that's just dumb.
Well, they've won $155,000 on that horse, 8 out of 12 holes.
That's crazy.
Off of that horse, $155,000 in 4 nights, 3 guys. That's pretty cool.
I really thought that, you know, those guys riding Crush this year is going to be really good, because when Ty first brought him out here, that's one of the reasons Ty didn't ride him, you know, a lot. He didn't have as much confidence because Crush would run a little tight. And
now, what do you mean by that? So close to the steer?
Yeah, instead of give him a little bit more room to get in there, some runs Crush would be really tight, so it's hard to get down. And it's really crucial on like Ty, because he's got a lot of length.
Right.
So when it's tighter, he's got to wait longer for his feet to come out.
Is that why he missed that one steer?
It was kind of a bad go. And it's, you know, it's in the day we're tackling farm animals, so how big a game plan can you get, you know? But I knew that horse was going to be really, you know, successful this year, and it's paying off.
It really, when you think about over the years, like, you know, in recent times, like when Cadillac, Mark Wallace's, right? You know.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
One Cheyenne on Caddy.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. But those horses, I mean, cannot be underestimated. They're handing this. But, you know, the world standings are kind of interesting. Big Will has taken the lead, but J.D. Struxus is second. Now Dalton Massey's third.
And by the way, Will's horse, Swamper, they've won $90,000 on him here now. So don't kick that horse out of the game.
Okay, and that's Winston McGraw's horse, right, from Colorado?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, they won a lot of money on that horse before the NFR Dakota made the finals on him. Will made the finals on him. So those two horses right there are kind of standing out, and you can't farm without a tractor, you know. And
that you can. So, it just takes a long time to plant corn.
Yeah, that hoe, you wear your hoe out.
Did you say wear your hole out?
Where,
a lot of that happens in 10 days here. Keep going.
He said ho. Have you seen the jackets? Oat has been, he keeps coming, showing up with like sequin jackets. And when you said wear your hoe out, I'm like, I feel like he's like walking around like a pimp. And I'm like, wear your hoe out. Mm. Anyway, let's go. Sorry. Team roping. That was really bad taste. I apologize. I was raised with the he-wolves, and it sometimes shows. Sorry about that, Elsie. Anyway, four teams last night were 4-1. Well, you know, when Yaco and Hawkins went first and were 4-1, it was like, okay, good run, and they haven't really got tapped off this week or whatever. But so I promise you, they're riding out, and I saw the little shot of them, you know, riding out, and they were like, okay, well, you know, hopefully we'll get a check. But then Clint Summers and Jake Long, Egg is squeezing, Lord, nice to see them, you know, having some luck here. Luke Brown, no, Cody Snow and Hunter Cook, four teams to be 4-1. That was a pretty
And the victory
packed
lap looked like
a grand entry, Boyd. Okay, anyway, so only four teams have caught four steers. That's kind of interesting.
Which four? You know?
For the love of God. Of course I know.
But okay, I'll spit it out, Captain Underpants.
Okay. So Rogers and Eves are first. Luke and Travis Graves, TG, are second. Jake Smith and Douglas Rich are third. And Clay Smith, Jake's big brother, and Colby Payne are fourth. And, you know, pretty cool here to see Colby Payne having some luck. I don't know how many people will remember that it was really hard for him last year that it came down to number of rodeos.
We covered that story up.
Yeah, and I'm just saying he was in and then he was out. So he thought he was going to be here last year, and so good for him to be here this year.
Have some success.
And doing well.
Prove you belong. That's what the rest of the guys are looking at you. You can shut them up pretty fast, can't you, Casey, by just proving you belong? When you're a rookie and you come in, is that fair to say?
I actually had a great year the first year I made it because I didn't have nothing to lose. You know, so I had confidence to where...
You hadn't set any bar for a small guy
I'm broke,
middle class.
Broke when I got here. I'm going to see how much money I can get. You know, I wasn't expected to win, so I was just trying to sneak around and grab as much as I can.
Did you... Okay, Tucker, Justin Schaefer, and Cash Robb are the first-time guys here, and they, for grand entry practice, they had the little hazing done to them where they duct-taped Jesse Brown and Dakota duct-taped Tall Boy Modelos to their hands, and they had to... 24 ounces, and they was like, were you hazed when you came the first time?
They didn't do it back then.
Really?
No, good for you. You'd have broke.
I got lucky.
You'd have quit, went home.
We better roll.
To your middle class house. Okay, keep going. We're Bronc Wrighton.
Okay, before we say that I'll just say it. Rider Wright was 90.5 on Championship Pro Rodeo's Tickled Pink. That was awesome.
It was a good
crowd. Went completely crazy. But I will say, Colby Wanchuck, like, he got a re-ride. When that white horse went down in the chute and, like, jammed him against there, I just held my breath, and all I could think of was Dwayne Danes, who is running around here in a wheelchair, because inside of that chute is really dangerous, and there's no give to that medal. So that I'm very grateful that he's okay.
Go Zeke. Come on, average.
So,
that's going to help me.
We're almost out of time. So, you know, what can we say about... Riley freaking Webb and this horse Rudy.
Go Riley.
Three out of four ain't bad, and then what, second in the other round? I mean, he's in some kind of Cody
Tough Cooper's playing. He's playing this year. You know what I'm saying? This is his
16th one. He's kind
but
of a
we've
player.
Seen, we've seen the waters kind of move around with him, in fairness. Keep going.
Okay. We got to talk about Cassie Mowry. So Cassie, especially that she and the horse of the year. Okay. What is the force? Okay. Her horse, Jarvis, they had the fast time of the rodeo here last year. I think it was in round 8, and then they won round 9 right after that, too. Belonged to her fiancé, Michael Boone. And the fact that horse's registered name is The Forced Goodbye. Gives me kind of chills. So Sunday, before we're all, I came out here Monday, but I talked to Cassie Sunday while she was driving out here for a story for the AQHA about this horse that's the horse of the year. And Jarvis belonged to her fiance, Michael, who, it was the day I talked to her on Sunday before we got here, it was 6 months to the day that Mike died in an accident at home. And when they were here last year, when they were leaving here last year, he said, you've got to get this horse back. He deserves to go 10 rounds in this building. And so she's crying, and I'm, you know, time traveling. And I said to her, that this feels like when we were here in 1989 and Tough had to come without Lane.
Yeah.
You know, or it feels like that year when Byron and Mary lost Reagan, and here comes Mary and Latte, and they play this, whatever that song's called, and we all get the chills every night, and it was just like, this is in the stars, this is happening. And so, you know, I also, last year I posted, you know, that I thought it was really amazing that Lisa Lockhart had crossed $3 million and had won more money than any other barrel racer. That's in the WPRA at Professional Rodeos. Cassie Mowry is a $7.5 million barrel racer. She's the winningest barrel racer of all time financially, which puts her in the rarefied air of only two people that I know of, J.B. Mooney and Trevor Brazil. Cassie Mowry is a freaking badass, and she's nice, And she's, this is hard. She stepped up on that for that stage, for that buckle with her fiance's family.
Tough stuff. She's, you know, she's kind of a sleeper. You don't really think of her when you think of, you know, most successful athletes in the rodeo business. But, she, you know, dominated the fraternities.
And can I say this? Like, Cody Ohl's going to be on here Saturday, and he was famous for not going to very many rodeos. You have to go to a minimum of 25 rodeos to qualify for this, for the NFR. Her typical rodeo count is 26. And she said she went to 27 this year because she was second-guessing if she to make sure she got her minimum, because wouldn't it be embarrassing to win enough money? You know, so she went to 27 rodeos. And you think about, can barrel racers go to 100?
I think so.
You know, so people here and people who did not make it went to 100 rodeos.
Yeah.
And she went to 27.
Just kick their butts. Now, she is at 259,000 in the world standings. Haley's at 335. If, you know, there's a chance. So she's turned the corner. Her horse has figured out the first barrel. That horse looked faster than Haley's to me anyway. Just I didn't think they had it all nailed down. But even then, Haley's going to win some money along the way. I think it's going to be really hard for her to
pass Haley her. Keeps them standing, sister's the champ.
And they
deserve it.
Right, huh?
Oh, you're going to the bull riding. I'm sorry.
If you're not done, madam.
No, that's great. I thought you were starting to say bull something, and you're saying bull riding. Let's go. Before we talk about the bull riding and the fact that Mavie Jones' daddy, Josh Frost, won it last night.
Who, by the way, was sitting at our table at Golden Circle of Champions. He was one of the chaperones of our kid.
86 and a half points. Was the bull really called Belly Dump? Salt River's Belly Dump? Anyway.
No. I know he was on a Sutton rodeo. I think it was one chance.
Oh, I'm reading Creek Young. Creek Young's not here. I apologize. He broke his femur at Puyallup. Okay. Besides that, because I know we're running out of time, a stock contractor this morning in an elevator said that Bull of the Year, we all were kind of anticipating Bull of the Year, Big Bank, Universal Pro Rodeo's Bull of the Year was in the stock
in
sale. To be sold. And a very old friend who's a stock contractor and a bull man specifically said they no-sailed Big Bank because they had run him up to 205 and they wanted 250,000, so they no-sailed him. So Universal Pro Rodeo still owns him today.
Well, and so we got a few minutes. We got 2 or 3 minutes. But to me, this is the story of everything. So this guy started an after party, like not just an after event, an after party. That is the contestants, probably, I would say, choice. The players play at this party, gives them beautiful leather jackets. Guess who he has playing at his, this guy right here, at his after party? Snoop Dogg yesterday. I can't, this is the guy that was on the Olympics. Like, this is the biggest, the biggest guy in the world, and you had him at Zouk at your after party. You gotta tell us, like that's just badass, man.
Yeah, we were really excited, and so we moved into Zouk Nightclub. It's one of the best nightclubs in the last 3 years in Las Vegas. So I was really excited because, you know, we have the fancy tables and the table service. And so the digital imagery, you know, in there is just fascinating. And the audio is amazing. So during the watch party, it opens at 5 o'clock. And so, you know, you get in there and the rodeo's on everywhere. And then we have Rodeo Vegas entertainers, like we had Paul Cawthon that played before him. And then we have late night on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have our, you know, typical Las Vegas nightclub, you know, performers. And so, you know, we were kind of responsible for the Rodeo Vegas entertainers, but then also wanted to, you know, help our budget out with getting some big names for the late night. And because the late night doesn't come on until 1:30 every morning. And so our party, or the DJ after the Rodeo Vegas entertainer is about midnight, and then there's DJ that goes on until he comes on. So at first we was going to get Shaboozy for Saturday night, and then went back and forth, and then they kind of...
Wasn't it Cody Johnson's guy that says we got our Shaboozy kicked? Keep going.
Yeah, and so... See him. That didn't work out. So then we reached out to Nelly, who was kind of one of
Nelly. Teton Red. Yeah, Nelly. Yeah, we just reached out to Nelly.
And then that didn't work out. He was already booked. And then so we was in contract or had to offer out to TI. And then Shibuzi was going to be in town. He reached back out and kind of gave us a better deal, you know. And so we was talking to our partners at Zook, and he's like, well, we can just always get Snoop. And I'm like, what? Who? Would you say Snoop? He's like, yeah, but you know, you wouldn't want Snoop, would you? I'm like, well, heck yeah, we want Snoop.
Yeah.
We'll cancel everybody else and get Snoop. He's like, all right, I'll make a call. So I kind of screwed up and told some people internally, you know, that I work with, you know, some buddies that we're going to get Snoop, you know. And then it come down that Friday, and his offer was going to expire at 5
o'clock. Come on, give birth to the baby.
Yeah.
We're on a time crunch here.
And so it looked like he wasn't going to play, and then they confirmed the next morning. I get a text from the camp, because all Friday night I was like, oh, killing me. And then that morning they said, he's confirmed. All we got to do is just take our jet out, get him, and bring him back. So actually Paul Cawthon playing Saturday night, when he finished, Snoop hasn't even left L.A. yet. So the jet got him. He was in the air while with DJ. And when he landed, we did a little quick deal, and he got on there. And
is he as cool as he looks?
The nicest guy. So I had an extra large and a 2XL made specially for him, because he's tall. Like, he's 6'4", 6'5".
An 2XL for Snoop? He don't look like he needs a...
But he wears baggy stuff.
That's Jelly Roll.
Wears baggy stuff, and so... I gave it to him. I said, you know, I didn't know what size you want, you know, and I was going to take the other one and sign it, have him sign it and do a, you know, Golden Circles, charity event, you know. And so I said, yeah, I didn't know what size you wanted. And he's like, man, would it be too much if I could take them both? I love them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This is the magic of Casey Jones. Amen. He never settles for the status quo, and you tell him he can't and watch him get it done.
How do crickets taste?
They're not that bad.
Crunchy?
Yeah, not bad.
Crunchy? He had to eat crickets.
It should have been a live cricket, though.
It should have been a real live
off
cricket.
The hook. You
weren't putting that in your mouth, were you? Will you eat a live cricket?
Tell why he ate a cricket.
Well, I did, because they had a little plate of them.
But you didn't lose, right?
No, but like Sierra was really, you know, dramatic about not wanting to eat it. But there was like 10 on the plate.
10 crickets?
Yeah, and so when it come down to she lost, she was going to have to eat the cricket. And I'm like, and she was kind of like, which one should I pick? I said,
which cricket should I pick?
Yeah. I said,
medium rare cricket.
If I eat one, you got to eat the whole plate. Well, I just reached over there and put one in my mouth before she could say no. And then
it's because she lost in fantasy, right?
Yeah.
It was a bad bet payoff type thing. She lost Kendra, so it was crickets. What is it today if you lose?
Oh, I don't know. The day before that, JB had to dress up as Willy Wonka.
Have you seen those images?
Yeah,
I saw
them. They're still burned in my brain.
Well, Terrible. Thank you guys. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for joining us. The greatest lady ever, Kendra Santos, Greg Teagarden. This was episode 40. Thanks for watching us on Ride Pass, Cowboy Channel Plus app, or listening to us on your favorite podcast platform. Until tomorrow, eat a cricket. Catch you later.